Many of you guys probably don't even know who this guy is, so I'm going to set him up. Some of you know him. He's fantastic. Jaron works on our staff here. He's the assistant AV director, technical director here for the church. Has a huge background in ministry. He is one of the, actually probably the best drummer I've ever heard play. Seriously, he's unbelievable. If you ever get a chance to hear him, he's going to be sharing with us tonight. Let's give him a rounding, rousing applause. Jaron Suish, you guys, welcome him.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Good evening, good evening, good evening. How you guys doing? So by show of hands, how many do not know who I am? Keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. So I'd say a good 8 out of 10. That's a good thing. That means you have no first impression of me. You can't judge me. And guess what? I don't know you either. So there will be no judgment tonight. Is that cool? Except for you. This young man, I want to make it very clear. You have a calling on your life. Hayden, he was in my little prayer group over here, and the power of God struck in an instant when you began to pray. And that's a sign. And I want you to, know who you are. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. I'm going to get into who you think you are and who you really are. Who you think you are and who you really are. How many of you, by show of hands, would be willing to say that in our current society, we are generally led by culture, pop culture? I'd give that a strong 8 out of 10 as well. Winning. That means you agree with me. Because that's how I view things. Especially with younger people. We, as a young generation, are easily influenced. Easily influenced. So let's get into this. You guys ready? I'm excited. I've been waiting and preparing for 2 weeks to join you guys. Pastor Zach, thank you so much, wherever you may be. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm greatly appreciative. Romans 12:2. Anybody know it by memory? All right, let me ask you this. If you brought your Bible with you, say amen. I got one person in the back. If you didn't bring your Bible, say oh me. How can you know if I'm telling you the truth if you don't bring your own? Ooh, this is going to be so good. I can't wait. I'm going to move quick and let's get this over with. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform. Do not. It's not an option. Do not conform to the ways of this world, pop culture, okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, you guys with me? That's good. Do not conform. Don't change. Be who you are. Be who Christ created you to be and walk in that. Just because Lil Wayne has a big chain doesn't mean you need a big chain too. You might look silly with a big chain. I'm going to go through a few things very quickly, and I'm going to ask you to just take this time as I'm speaking to look in a non-physical mirror, a metaphorical mirror. There we go. And we're going to do some self-reflection. So the first thing, three things that guide our decision-making in our lives. Number one, happiness. Your personal happiness. You ever heard anybody say, if it makes you happy, do it? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Some people will live by that. As long as they're happy, everything's cool. There's a school of thought called hedonism. Ever heard of that? This is some older people stuff, but you need to know it while you're young so that you can combat this as you walk in your maturity. There's a school of thought called hedonism, which basically says your happiness is the highest good. It is the supreme being of what your life should be. Search out your happiness. But once you are in Christ, you forfeit your happiness for His. You forfeit your happiness as priority. Let that sink in for a second. As priority, you give away your happiness for his. It's called the great exchange. That's why the Bible says, when I delight myself in him, he gives me the desires of my heart. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. Do you have faith tonight? Do you have faith tonight? Do you have faith tonight? Because the Bible also says, all you need is a mustard seed worth of faith. That ain't a whole lot. Definitely smaller than my pinky fingernail, and I got a pretty small pinky fingernail. Never make decisions solely based on your happiness alone. A lot of times we as Christians compromise. We'll compromise our morals. We'll compromise our beliefs. We'll compromise our backgrounds. Sometimes we'll even compromise our destiny. What we're supposed to be doing, we'll lay it down to do something that makes us happy because we accept it. This hits me in my spirit. Some things that will make you happy can be dead wrong. There's so many things pulling at you at this age, pulling at you, wanting your attention, desiring you and your time and your mind and your thoughts and your speech. You have to have the discernment as a young person through Christ will give you that discernment to know where that line is. So never make decisions solely based on your happiness. Number two, never make decisions solely based on your peace. P-E-A-C-E. There are different pieces. That's why God said, my peace I leave with you. The peace that passes all understanding. It means you can't even comprehend the peace that can be given to you when you delight yourself in the Lord. Nights that you've spent crying yourself to sleep, locked yourself in your room. You don't want nothing to do with anybody. You tune the whole world out because your peace is in the wrong place. Never make decisions solely based on your peace. And number three, this might be my favorite. Never make decisions solely based on your heart. Say, tell me why, Jaron. I'm glad you asked. Jeremiah 17:9, the New Living Translation reads this. The human, we're all humans, right? The human heart is the most deceitful of all things, okay? So not just deceitful of the anatomy, meaning follow your heart. I don't know where I want to go to college. Oh, just follow your heart. My grandmother used to say this to me, just follow your heart. Later did I find out in the Word that might not solely be the best opportunity. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. I don't even have to preach that. That's good right there by itself. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And you want to follow that. Never make decisions. Never make decisions solely based on your heart. Never make decisions solely based on your happiness, your peace, or your heart. Unless your happiness lines up with the Word of God, follow your happiness. If your peace lines up with the Word of God, follow that peace. And if your heart lines up with the Word of God, follow your heart. The title of my message tonight is The Great Identity Crisis. The Great Identity Crisis. I'm going to go to Genesis 32:27. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Bring your Bibles next week. Raise your hand if you're going to bring your Bible next week. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. Seriously, raise your hand if you need a Bible. Three, Pastor Zach, I count three. We need four Bibles. Isn't that awesome? We love you so much, we will provide you with the word if you don't have one. That's good stuff. Genesis 32:27. The title in my Bible says, Jacob wrestles with God. Some good stuff. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there he wrestled with a man. That would be the version or the definition of God in this verse, the man, okay? And Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And when the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him, he said, let me go. And he said, I will not let thee go unless you bless me. He's wrestling with God. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he gets his hip knocked out of joint. Bow! I don't know if anyone has ever seen an old lady with a broken hip, but she cannot get off the ground. Extremely painful injury to sustain. Next verse. And he said unto Jacob, what is thy name? And he answered, Jacob. And he responded, no more. No more are you Jacob, but you shall be called Israel. For you are a prince with the power of God, and with men you have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, why me? And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask me after my name? And he blessed him there. And he blessed him there. So, let's take a quick look at this. When God here asked Jacob, what is your name? He's not asking Jacob, what's your mama call you? He's asking Jacob, what do you call yourself? How do you see yourself? What is your label? What is your brand? What is your designation? Who do you belong to, Jacob? When Jacob looks back and he responds, I am Jacob, he admits what he's already done, which I won't go into that story, but I'm sure we all know the story of Esau and Jacob. And Jacob tricked his father. He put fake hair on his arms and went to his dad and said, give me what's mine. But it wasn't even his. It was his brother Esau's. And he got blah, 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 blah. Long story. So with that being said, we look at the name Jacob. What does the name Jacob mean? The name Jacob in Hebrew means liar, supplanter, deceiver, hill catcher. So to say he lived up to his name would be an understatement, right? Because he's a liar. So when he responds to God, I am liar. He hasn't even recognized the transformation of his mind that is in the midst of taking place. Never call yourself what you made it out of. Never label yourself what you've been delivered from. Let's go to Luke 15. Verse 11 through 22. I'm almost done. 15. Verse 11 through 22. Here we go. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me my portion. Not I'll earn it, not I'll work for it, give it to me. I'm entitled to it, okay? Portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. So he blew his money completely that was given to him by his father, all right? This is the story of the prodigal son, for those of you who would like to read on this later. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain with his belly, with the husks that the swine did eat, And no man gave unto him. That's a whole lot of King James Version stuff right there. So to break that down for you, he ran out of money and he got really hungry and he had to go eat pig slop. Okay, same page. This is important. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he asked himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I stand here and perish with hunger, eating out of a pig's pen when my dad's got all the money in the world, turkey legs, chicken legs, you name it, he's got it. And I'm out here eating dirt. Sometimes when we try to find ourselves, we get lost. The son ends up, I'm just going to paraphrase the rest because I'm running out of time. The son comes back after being in the pig pen and realizing the severity of the situation. He comes home. And the first thing the father does when he sees him coming down the road to his home, he hollers at his servants, bring forth the best robe. Okay, the word best here can trick you because the word best is implying that he is worthy of the most valuable thing I can give to him. That's not the message. Let me blow your mind real quick. The message of the father saying, bring forth the best robe, is for one reason and one reason only, and that is to cover the filth and the stink and the disgust and the dirt that has totally consumed his son. With all of his servants and his second son nearby watching this happen, he didn't clean him first. He didn't get a bucket of water and whoosh. A lot of times in church, people will try to clean you first before they cover you. We live in a society of exposure. Oh my God. People would rather expose you and pull your skeletons out of the closet and show them to the whole world than they would come and cover you and say, son, I've got you. And I'm going to pray with you until we get you through this. Did you know that? This isn't even in my notes. This just came to me. Did you know that Noah, after he'd been on the water for over 100 days, the Bible says, once the ship settled, the first thing he did was get drunk? Noah turned up. So Noah drinks so much that he passes out naked, buck naked, old dude, disgusting, right? So his younger son comes in and, oh my God, and sees Noah drunk, passed out. You know what he does? He goes and takes pictures with his phone of his dad. Oh man. And he goes and he posts it on Facebook for the whole world to see. And he exposes his father. And not moments later, that's not true, that's a joke. Moments later, the older son comes and sees as well. Noah laying drunk, naked. And you know what the older son did? He turned around to have his back facing his drunk father. And he took off his robe and he stretched it out. And he sat and he covered his father. Because it wasn't worth the embarrassment over a moment. Your happiness and your peace and your heart can lead you into a place that's so dark, but you'll be so comfortable. You will be totally happy and at peace, and you'll think you're following your heart. After the prodigal son's father covered him with the robe, let me finish up, get back on track here. Covered him with a robe, he gave him a ring. And it's called a signet ring. And what that means is that there's a sign, a symbol built into the ring that only him and his family have. It's like a family sign. The purpose of this, just for historical record, is so if I go to the store, I need 3 cans of tomato sauce. It's like a modern-day credit card. You would dip your ring in wax and stamp a piece of paper for the store clerk, and he would be able to charge your family's account. So a ring can bring two things: identity and access. I believe tonight every person in this room is deserving of getting covered by the Holy Spirit tonight. And now that you're covered, if you accept that, take a ring with Christ's signet on the ring. Wear it proudly, wear it loudly, wear it boldly. And wherever you go, there's no identity crisis. Because as long as I have my ring with my family sign, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I belong to. I know who I belong to. I know who I belong to. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, we ask so humbly that you would open up our hearts as the week goes by and this message begins to sit on our spirit. Lord, let us begin to repent and change our thinking of the way we live our lives. Lord, may your word become the supreme court of our life. Not pop culture, not Facebook, not a superstar, but the word of God. May your word be the supreme court of our life. In Jesus' name we speak these things. Amen. Thank you guys so much for having me. Thank you.